Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, what's going on? It's my pleasure right now to talk with Walter Schreifels from Quicksand, formerly of Gorilla Biscuits and Rival Schools and so many other projects. I think I have, like, on my CD shelf, like a Walter little subsection there of all the different, all kinds of stuff, man. But we're here to talk about the new Quicksand album. It's called Distant Populations, coming out August 13th, and they're coming to Seattle, Quicksand is. So first off, welcome, and welcome for coming on the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be talking with you, Kevin. Thanks.
How's things going over in New York for you right now? I'm assuming New York. That's what the phone number was.
Uh-huh. Yep. I live in Manhattan, and things are good. Quicksand, we just got back together yesterday to play a bunch. We filmed a bunch of live songs, and it was real fun, you know, loading in, loading out, setting up your stuff, and seeing the guys, and just, you know, dialing in these new songs is a lot of fun.
Are you someone who needs to constantly be practicing with the band? Did you guys do a lot of that during the pandemic, during the quarantine and whatnot, or were you mostly playing alone, or what was that like?
Yeah, we didn't get together too much at all, to be honest. I missed it. I mean, we were working very intensely on the album. So when we were working on the album, and we're like early riser rehearsals, so mm-hmm. we'd be jamming it like as early as like 9 o'clock, be on it. I think, you know, rehearsing till noon, taking a break for lunch and coming back. We were pretty intense there for a while. So, you know, I think with the lockdown, we were obviously still talking about stuff and working on the artwork for the record and yeah. mixes and all that kind of stuff. But as far as playing, we didn't get together. So it's nice to get back to it. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun.
So going into, you know, the pandemic, was this a plan to do an album during this time, or did you take this opportunity to just jump ahead in without plans of doing one?
Oh no, we didn't see it at all. You know, we actually we finished tracking on my birthday on March 10th, and then lockdown happened on the like 15th.
Oh.
So we just slid right in. I think we might be in the running for like last records of pre-COVID existence.
Okay.
And then we were mixing it, and we talked about releasing it during the pandemic, but mm-hmm. We just felt it was better to just kind of wait it out and see how things played out, because we really wanted to tour, and we didn't want to be so disconnected from it. And you know, luckily I feel like the records held up pretty nice, so I think it was the right call ultimately. But we took our time with the artwork, and yeah. we took our time with the mixes, and that's like kind of where our discussions were, and you know, And that was enough. That was plenty to sink our teeth into. And it was a lot of fun actually doing that.
So, you know, pre-pandemic, that means we're safe from any ham-fisted, you know, songs about the pandemic, you know.
No. I mean, I think it's interesting you could read into it, but there's no, like, you know, nothing that speaks to it directly. But, you know, maybe there's some prescient, observations that maybe are applicable, but there was nothing like, we've got to make our pandemic record. No, yeah. It's not that.
So have you been to any shows yet since things have been lifted? I haven't actually been to a concert yet. I'm looking forward to a few of them. I might have to go see Megadeth and Lamb of God, but nothing yet. Have you been to any live shows yet?
Not anything indoors. I mean, I've seen some bands play outside.
Yeah.
I'm going to my first indoor comedy show tonight. Cool. I'm looking forward to that. My friend Dave Hill. I mean, New York hasn't opened for that yet. So hasn't happened.
Okay.
Or if they have, no one told me.
So, you know, during, the pandemic, were you guys working? So you said you were working on the, artwork. So the album was done before the pandemic even started?
The tracking was done. Okay. So, you know, there was little things that we had to add here and mm-hmm. there, but there was no, the basic guts of it were completed. And you know, we were supposed to tour in the fall of last year, yeah. I suppose would have been the time. And, you know, just like everybody, just kind of got bounced around and some bands decided to release records during the pandemic. And we just felt that we would rather take our time mixing yeah. it and working on the artwork and wait it out. And, I'm happy with that decision, you know, cause, I would, you know, rather, you know, we wanted to play.
Yeah.
And so if we weren't able to play, it just didn't make sense. And, you know, it's not like the record is so like topical or like, mm-hmm. it's not limited to that time. I think it's like I said, it's holding up.
There's a lot of bands and I'm seeing this now that things are starting to open up. I saw my friend's band Zvolba got to play a show down in California and they played a record release show for an album that was released a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so I don't know. We didn't want to. I mean, in effect, like that is part of it, but like we didn't want to be that distant from people hearing it.
Yeah.
To people being able to see it, because mm-hmm. that was really the only reliable. I mean, that was just what we were looking at.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know people really appreciated the records that they got out in COVID time. I think people really appreciated that. But for us, maybe selfishly, we didn't want to give it out until we could follow it up with a tour, and didn't want to be disconnected by, you know, by a year from that.
Yeah.
So, we made that decision. I mean, if we were still in lockdown, we might just say at this point, forget, put it out.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not what we decided to do. And, you know, and I'm happy about that because, you know, it's exciting. It's still yeah. really exciting for us. And, I think for people hearing the new stuff, you know, I've been getting just a lot of texts from friends and it's been really nice.
That's awesome, man. And it's just on the horizon here, August 13th. And again, you guys are coming to Seattle here, October 13th.
Here can't wait.
At Pneumo. So, are you someone who loves coming to the Northwest? I hear from a lot of people that they love coming to the Northwest, and being someone in the Northwest, I do love it. But you know, when you come to the Northwest, you know, is it just a certain vibe here that you love?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I have great friends in the Northwest, and it definitely has such a unique character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so much the amazing like early rock and roll came from that part of the country. So, you know, the Sonics and it just has this like character that I love, and it's I always have an awesome time up there. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not going to put any words into your mouth, but I'm just going to kind of, you know, form kind of a question-ish here. So, you know, you being in like early hardcore bands in New York, and then the transition mm-hmm. to stuff like Quicksand and Rival Schools and a bit more post-hardcore, were you influenced at all by the Seattle stuff going on with like Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, stuff like that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I remember hearing Soundgarden, Ultra Mega OK, and just being like, wow, this sounds like a punk version of Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And thinking, like we could, you know, this is when Quicksand was forming, is like we could do Led Zeppelin and do our own kind of version of that and do something interesting that would just wouldn't just be like a Led Zepp ripoff. Because I mean, I thought Soundgarden were so cool. And Nirvana, you know, I discovered, you know, probably around that same time. You know, Bleach was kind of like this to me. I thought it was like this sort of cross between Sabbath and some sort of like 60s pop, which I that, you know, again, just said, oh, wow, you can access these sort of classic references and sort of regurgitate them in your own way.
Yeah.
That would be contemporary and unique. So that was a big influence for sure. And I mean, I think on everybody ultimately, you know, as those bands became huge. But even, you know, early on, I thought all that stuff was great. And yeah, particularly like Bleach was really, and Ultra Mega OK were my, that was my favorite Soundgarden record. Although I came to love, you know, their whole kind of catalog.
Absolutely, man. And I just had to throw that out there just because I was curious. But something that's interesting with you is you've had somewhat of a, I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but it seems to be some sort of a working relationship with Vans. You guys were on the first Vans Warped Tour, and then over the pandemic, you did a kind of a hardcore radio show slash like interview kind of thing, like on their Vans channel. Have you always been in talks with Vans, or is that just a coincidence?
Well, over the years, I mean, I know a lot of people at Vans, you know, it's kind of similar, you know, people that were into Vans were into skateboarding. A lot of them were into hardcore and punk. So there's just a lot of crossover there. And you know, Vans is kind of, I would say, of the sneaker companies, like kind of pretty punk DIY, although, you know, obviously they're hugely successful and vast.
But their roots,
at this point, but I mean, at the roots, it's just a guy making up his own sneaker and not waiting for someone to give him permission to do it. And the fact that they, you know, created, you know, that it's a canvas shoe and had the idea to like make these kind of fun prints on it is just massively iconic. I mean, when I was a kid, Fast Times at Ridgemont High came out and I was like, was blown away that you could have sneakers, which it just was crazy. So, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things where a full circle, you know, from that moment as a kid to like an adult being like, doing a radio show for them. I mean, it's a live stream. And I have a lot of fun with it and bring on a lot of cool guests. And it's, you know, that's been a great kind of mix for me. It's been great.
And if you haven't had a chance to check out the program on the Vans channel, you can, I think you can rewatch some of it. I'm not sure.
No, that's the thing. You cannot. Oh, you can only watch it when it's happening. And it's on Thursdays. I'm doing it monthly now because I've just gotten kind of busy.
Yeah.
But it's the next show is on August 5th.
Okay.
And it streams at 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And yeah, you can't rewatch it. I mean, I guess there's ways that you could record it if you wanted to. I don't know what they are, and I'm not saying you should do that, but you could. Someone told me once. But I think that's kind of the coolness of it in a way too. It's like so many things are kind of at your fingertips, whereas this one is like you actually have to kind of tune in and check it out. And that's East Coast time, 5 o'clock. So I guess over in California West Coast it would be 2 p.m. maybe earlier.
2 p.m. right in the middle of my work day. I can just pop it on and just pop my headphones in with Bluetooth and just check it out.
Yeah, no one has to know. You just put, you know, just check it out.
I love that you bridge the gap between the old school, or, you know, like the forefathers of hardcore, you know, like the beginning stages of hardcore. You talk with people from that eras, and then you and then you have like bands that are like doing it now and putting out cool stuff. Was that something that was that, what was your vision for it rather?
Yeah. I mean, I have the stuff that I like from hardcore, but I'm like massively out of date, you know? So to me, when Vans asked me to do this show, I mean, the thing that I was most interested in is like finding out what the hell's going on now, cause hardcore is like, you know, this sort of, it's hard to put your finger on what the hell it is. Yeah. So it was interesting for me to explore like, who are the bands now? that consider themselves hardcore. It's a pretty wide definition. Yeah. And I suppose it kind of always has been, you know. And I think so I'm getting pretty well versed in what's up with modern hardcore and how it, you know, there's so many, while there's a lot of things that are different, I think bands are like way more eclectic now, and it's mm-hmm. more about the philosophy than the sound. I think there's just a lot of different takes on it. You know, and how it all ties together with the hardcore that I discovered and I fell in love with mm-hmm. and, you know, and what came before me, you know, like I was there relatively early, but at the time I was pretty convinced that I had missed the boat, to be honest. Minor Threat had already broken up. So, you know, it's just interesting how it just keeps regenerating and generations keep picking it up and making their own thing out of it. And, I love that. And, that's my interest in it.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm not going to punish you too much about hardcore, but I do have one question, and I didn't give you any prep here. Okay, so I'm just throwing it out there.
I'll shoot from the hip.
Here, we all know the big four of thrash metal in people's opinions: Megadeth, Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer. In your personal opinion, and this is just your personal opinion, your taste, what are your big four hardcore bands?
Minor Threat, Negative Approach, Dead Kennedys, and Circle Jerks. No, 7 seconds. 7 seconds.
All right. Nice, dude. And other than Minor Threat, you are in a class of musician that you've done, you know, some really cool stuff, some stuff that's, you know, iconic, and some stuff that, you know, maybe, you know, it's in some of people's was like way ahead of its time. You could easily just, you know, rest on your laurels and just play the greatest hits, but you continue to keep making cool new music. What inspires you to keep going, and what keeps you motivated to keep making music, Walter?
I think like anybody, you know, you want to, you know, you find a sort of a function and a purpose and you want to keep fulfilling and pushing yourself forward within that. I was lucky to not only get interested in music, but get the kind of support that, you know, people, if I put something out, will give it a listen. And when, you know, respecting that relationship, I never want to give them necessarily exactly what they want. If I do, I want it to be surprising to them. And also, on a personal level, I always want to challenge myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether that's with a different style, with a different group of musicians, you know, that's what's in it for me. That's the sort of appeal of the struggle. So, you know, I'm just not built to deliver the same thing over and over again. And that's not because like that's not cool. It's just like not how I am. I'm just like kind of want to try something different. And even if I bring something that people are really, really psyched on and just kind of want more of that, it's even maybe I'm even more so wired to react to that. But I think over time, you know, I'm more like I don't think it has to be such an extreme. I really feel like with Quicksand, I'm really proud of how, you know, with my bandmates, like I feel like we've brought this new record. I think it has, you know, it hits all the notes that we kind of did that I think initially kind of made us popular. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really in context with like who we are as people, and also, you know, is in the conversation of like what's going on now at this point. I feel like we're a contemporary band. Like, sure, we've got this like cool catalog and history, but you know, our music is not nostalgia music. Like, our music is just like, you know, in the conversation of like what's going on, and that's a great place to be. That's what you want as an artist. Otherwise, you fall behind the curve, and it's harder to project what the next sound is if you're like on your back foot like that. So it's exciting and very rewarding, and allows me to like keep contact with cool people, and you know, keeps my mind active and gets me to go to cool places like Seattle.
Is it safe to say you're like a world, I mean, not a world, you're a lifelong musician. Like, this is just, this is what you do. This is just, that's why you're passionate, because it's just, it's who you are, right? It's just, you're
yeah, I mean, it's, a lifelong it's musician. That's what it's been. I mean, yep. It's kind of too far. You swim across the, too far to like it, where the other shore is, like, you can't swim back, you yep. know? And I feel very, very blessed for Absolutely. That because I love what I do. And it's just like, not, it's not a, of course there's like work and there's struggle to it, but it's what I love. It's just like an extension of me living, you know, of a kind of existence that I want to, and I get to, visit places that I want to see and hang with people that I want to hang with. And there's, all kinds of unexpected hijinks that comes into play that keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love music. So that's the overarching thing.
Awesome, man. Well, just a couple more questions for you. And
uh-huh.
So, you know, this past year and a half has been, you know, some punishingly brutal days. Mm-hmm. If you're having a crap day, what's an album mm-hmm. that you can reach for and put on and can either, you know, lift your spirits, get your aggression out, anything, like whether it's a hard album, a soft album, what's an album you can reach for after a difficult day that can bring you back to life?
Wow. I'm such a product of the modern times. I'm just like listening to a song, you okay. know what I mean? Yeah. So,
what's a song then?
Like a lifting, an album would be like probably like, I think of like 7 Seconds albums, like The yeah. Crew is like a real pick me up kind of album. I've really been getting into, Alice Coltrane, and I kind of just like any of her records. Like, they're very, atmospheric and, they just kind of get you in a vibe, and it's not like necessarily, it's not like, so like song-y, like narrative-y, oh. and that's just kind of calming. You know, I don't necessarily need a pep talk, I guess, as much yeah. as I maybe once did. But you know, I think anything sort of familiar, you know, it's from youth usually will get you rocking, you know. Sure. You know, an old AC, you know, Highway to Hell gets me psyched.
There you go. Nice, dude. All right, man. Well, again, I'm talking with Walter from Quicksand, and they're coming to town, mm-hmm. Seattle, October 13th at Numo's. Tickets are available now. Just found out that Narrowhead is opening. You definitely need yep. to check out Narrowhead. That band is freaking awesome.
Yes.
Have you not listened to them yet?
Yes, I love them. I'm psyched. That's really excited to go out with those guys.
And my last question for you, Walter, we ask every musician we talk to, but I'm psyched to hear yours. If you can... Mm-hmm. Pick a scar on your body, Walter, and tell us the story of how you got it.
Okay. I have a scar on my left elbow
mm-hmm.
that I went to Jamaica with a girlfriend of that time.
Uh-huh.
And we were going to our little – we rented a scooter, and yeah. we were, like, driving it at night. And we were following another guy on a scooter that was showing us where our hotel was. And this dude was like ripping it. And I've never like really ridden a scooter before. Uh-huh. And I'm riding my girlfriend on the back. It was totally stupid as hell. And we're going down this gravel road
and
just spilled on the scooter and just like cut. Welcome to Jamaica. I had this like sick ass cut on my elbow. But it was all right. No severe damage. So that's just one. That's just one.
Well, it's like that Damian Marley song, Welcome to Jam Rock, dude. There you go.
That was it. It was a Welcome to Jam Rock experience.
Thank you so much for sharing that and for sharing your music with us, man. Again, Distant Populations available now. You can pre-order it. You can pre-save it on streaming. And October 13th at Numos, we'll see you there, Walter.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. We'll see you there.
All right. Talk to you later, man. Thank you so much.
Take care. Be good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.